is a word that all of us have probably heard before, and we use the term often, the gospel. But what does gospel mean? Gospel literally means good news. And so when we say we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, or we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as a church, what we're saying is we believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. We preach the good news of Jesus, that God so loved the world that he sent his son to save us from our sin. If you're in John chapter 3:16, I'll read that. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The big idea that we want to walk away with from God's word this morning, and even as we prepare our hearts to celebrate God's gospel through the waters of baptism and church membership, is this. The big idea is that the gospel of Jesus Christ really is good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ truly is good news. Let's start with a word of prayer. Let's ask God to bless his word to our hearts, and then we will look at five reasons briefly why the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word that you have given us because you love us, because you want us to know your love for us and how you have called us to live for your glory. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells every Christian. We pray that your Holy Spirit would use the word of God in our hearts this morning so that we would live for the praise of your glory. I thank you for this familiar passage of Scripture, but I pray that with the familiarity of this passage, that we would not just tune our ears out, but Father, we would rejoice in the glory of your good news through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you will do whatever work that needs to be done in our hearts this morning. I pray that our hearts would be open and soft to the working of your Spirit in our lives. I pray that as we prepare to celebrate you through this baptism service, that Father, we would rejoice in the gospel that saves, and only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can save us from our sins. We ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, throughout life, many times we are confronted with things that seem too good to be true. And sometimes they really are sometimes too good to be true. How many of you get junk mail in your mailbox all the time? Or maybe if you do email, you get all this junk email, right? Or the spam email with these offers that say, well, if you will do this, you know, you'll get this. And many times those junk mail or the spam email, they're presenting things that really are too good to be true. I remember one time when Sarah and I lived in Virginia, Caleb was still a little baby, and we got this. I went to some expo or something. It might have been a hunting show. I can't remember. But I filled out one of those little things that say, hey, you want to win this drawing. We're drawing for these different things you could win today. And so I naively filled one of those out. And, of course, I put my name and my phone number on there because you had to do that to be drawn. And, of course, my name wasn't drawn. And in my naivety, I thought, oh, okay, that's it. No, that's not how it works, is it? They had my phone number. And the next thing I knew, a couple days later, I got a phone call from a resort place in Williamsburg, Virginia. We lived in the Hampton Roads area, and Williamsburg was about 40 minutes north of where we lived. And how many of you have been to Williamsburg, Virginia? I mean, it's a beautiful place. I mean, if you love American history, too, you've got the Jamestown settlement, you've got Williamsburg, you've got Yorktown close by, so there's a lot of American history that's happened there, and Williamsburg is a beautiful part of the country, and they have these resorts and these timeshares and all these things you can buy. And so I got contacted by someone who was just so excited for me on the phone. They were just so excited. They say, congratulations, you have won two free nights. Actually, no, it's one free night. One free night. It wasn't even two. One free night to our resort hotel in Williamsburg. All you've got to do is, you know, come to our office and we can give you your voucher. And so I'm thinking, Well, I was in seminary at the time, and anything free sounded good, right? And so I thought, okay, well, we could check this out. I mean, it's only 45 minutes away, and if it ends up being something, whatever, we can just turn around and come home. It's not that big a thing. And they said, we'll give you a free night at this hotel. All you have to do is just listen to a very brief display or a video and a presentation of our resorts. You don't have to sign up for anything, okay? But if you just listen, it'll take about an hour. then that's all we'll ask of you, and we'll give you this free voucher. I'm like, okay, we could do this. This will be fine. Now, Caleb was still needing to be fed every 3 hours or so. Okay, so bear that in mind. So we get up there, and we actually had this planned out kind of good because we knew that he would have to eat in about an hour or so. So we figured our backdoor way of escape was if he started getting fussy, we can just say, hey, okay, he needs to eat, and he really did need to eat, and we need to leave. So we get up there, and everything went like we thought. The representative who met us was very kind, very professional, and, oh, thank you so much for coming. Would you guys like a vacation? Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like a vacation. Well, would you like a place where you could always go all the time on vacation, and you'd never have to worry about ever going anywhere else for vacation? You always have a timeshare. And I said, sir, I'm a seminary student. I don't have any money, and we're preparing for ministry, and we're not going to be living here forever. We just are coming, and I told him, sir, we're just coming for the free voucher. And he's like, oh, I understand, but wouldn't you like a vacation? He just kept asking on a vacation. Well, it went on for longer than an hour. And then we were just about to say, you know what, we're done. We're going to go without the voucher. And Caleb was starting to get fussy because he hadn't eaten. And the man said, you know what, why don't I just show you one of the places? And I'm like, no. Come on, get in my truck. We'll go. And I'll just show you real quick. And then we're like, we're not doing this. And he's like, well, they actually told me I have to take you out there before I can give you this. I said, they didn't say that. It sounded too good to be true all of a sudden. And I said, well, our little guy here needs to eat. I'll just go with you. No, I actually have to show both of you. And this time I was getting kind of frustrated a little bit. And I said, now hold on. They told us that all we had to do was listen to this for an hour, and then they'd give us this. And eventually, we talked to Sarah. She said, we can do it. It'll be real quick. It's just a quarter of a mile away, whatever. So we hopped in the truck, drove over there. Now Caleb was really getting hungry. Now I was feeling bad because my little son was hungry and weren't able to feed him right then. And we got there. We sat in the parking lot, and I said, we're not interested. And the guy started to get a little upset. He said, okay, fine, I'll just take you back. Took us back, gave us the voucher, and we went home. That day ended up being a little too good to be true. We still got our voucher. It was okay. But sometimes those things come into our lives where we get very suspicious sometimes when we hear something that sounds too good to be true. Here's the beauty of Jesus Christ's gospel. It is not too good to be true. In fact, God calls us to see in his word that the gospel of Jesus Christ really is good news. God really did love us in spite of our sin. God really did send his son to this earth to pay the penalty for our sin on the cross when he died. God really did raise his son from the dead so that we could be given eternal life. And so when God offers you his gift of eternal life, it really is true. And it really is good news. This morning, briefly, I would just like to look at five reasons why. Five reasons why God's gospel through Jesus Christ is good news. First of all, we look at here in John 3:16. It says, for God. The first things we see here, the gospel of Jesus Christ is really good news because of its source. Where did this good news begin? Where did it come from? It says, for God. This God who created all things is the one who is the source, who created this good news. And when God creates something, he always creates it good. We've been looking at that in Sunday school, how God created everything in this world good. And before sin entered into this world, everything was right. When God creates, he creates good. This God, for God, this God is the only God of creation. He's the God of heaven. He's the God of love. He's the God of righteousness, of truth, and of grace. When we say that God is the God of creation, we realize that only the God of creation could create us anew. The minute we come into this world, we come into this world as sinners because of Adam and Eve's sin that took place all the way back in the Garden of Eden. We believe all of God's word is true. And when it tells us that Adam and Eve sinned against God, and from their sin, Adam's sin passed on to every human being, that means that the moment we come into this world, there's some bad news. We are born as sinners. We understand we don't have to teach our children how to do wrong, do we? It just naturally happens. It's because we have this sin nature within us. Doesn't mean that God does not love us, but we have a problem. You see, the good news of Jesus Christ requires that we hear the bad news first. And the bad news is that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We have all sinned. And all it takes is one sin to keep us out of heaven. Because God is holy. He is the righteous God. When we think about God's righteousness, only the God of righteousness could forgive our sin. And that's his desire, that we would call to him for forgiveness. He's the God of heaven. Only the God of heaven could give us eternal life as a free gift, because he is the everlasting, eternal, heavenly God. This gospel is good news because God is the God of love. Only the God of love could love us as we are as sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God shows his love to us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This gospel is good news because of its source. This wasn't created by John the apostle. This gospel, this good news, wasn't created by man. It was created by God. In God's perfect plan, he knew that with our sin, we deserve his punishment of eternal perishing in hell. He knew that we deserve punishment for our sin, and yet he loved us anyway. And he created, before the foundations of the world, this good news so that we could come and be forgiven from our sin. When it says we say that God is the God of truth, only the God of truth could promise us such good news, because he always keeps his word. How many of you have experienced someone making a promise to you and then they break their promise? That's happened. We've done the same too, haven't we? Maybe even unintentionally, but we said we'd be somewhere and we promised we'd be there, and then the car broke down or something happened, and even we had good intentions of keeping that promise, but it just didn't happen. Why does that happen? Because we live in a fallen, broken world. But God, when he makes a promise, he always keeps his word, right? Because he's the God of truth. So this God has given us this promise, this good news. He's the God of grace. What is grace? Grace is when God gives us something that we don't deserve. Now, what do we deserve? Well, because of our sin, we deserve punishment. We understand that in our own world. When you commit a crime or you break the law, there is a punishment that is justly deserved. Our crime against God is the fact that we are all sinners. And yet, God has shown us grace so that we no longer have to live under the penalty of God's sin, but we can be freed and forgiven, and that penalty against our sin can be taken away by God's grace. Only the God of grace could give us such a gracious and undeserved gift. Grace means it's undeserved. We understand this in our human relationships. There can be times when we show forgiveness to someone. They don't necessarily deserve our forgiveness, but we do it anyway because we're showing them grace. We're showing them kindness. God has shown us or offered us an amazing gift of his kindness, of his eternal grace. Yet the call for us is to receive this gift, isn't it? But God is the source of this gospel. This is why this gospel is good news, because God created it, and he creates all things good. The gospel of Jesus Christ truly is good news. But there's a second reason. We're going to look at these others very briefly here. Secondly, as we come back to John 3:16, the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news, not just because of its source, which is God, but also because of its simplicity. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles. If you have a Bible, keep your hand in John 3:16. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is right after you have John, then you have Acts and Romans, 1 Corinthians, and then 2 Corinthians. Chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse 3. The Apostle Paul here is writing to a group of people who lived in the Greek city of Corinth. And he's reminding them, as these Christians were struggling to follow God as they should in their life, he says, "Hey, I want to bring you back to the gospel. I want to remind you of what the gospel really is, because if you lose sight of what the gospel is, then it's going to mess up the way that you live for God. So let me bring you back to this gospel." In verse 3, he says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day in accordance with the scriptures." These couple phrases right here really give us the good news of Jesus Christ in a nutshell. He died for our sin. The bad news was that we were, because of our sin, were under God's wrath, under his punishment. But the good news is that Christ died for our sin. He didn't just die, he was buried, he really died, but he rose again the third day. If you are a Christian this morning, it is only because God loved you enough to send his son to pay the penalty for your sin, to die innocently on the cross in our place. and to rise again from the dead. And we have believed in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about belief in just a moment. But we have believed that this is a true good news, and we have repented of our sin. We have asked God to forgive us for our sin. And we believe John 3:16 when it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." The simplicity of the gospel, this message of the gospel, is so simple that a child can understand that. And I thank God for that. I thank God for our children who have already believed in Jesus Christ and received his gift of salvation. You don't need a college degree or a seminary degree to understand the gospel. It's clear. We are all sinners. But Jesus came. God so loved the world. We see that God greatly loved the world. He loved us even though our sinfulness separated us from him. There was this division. This love that he showed us was true sacrificial love. That's what love really is at its core, right? A love that's willing to sacrifice, not to please ourselves, but to serve others. That's what true love is, sacrificial love. And we see that God loved the entire world so much that he gave his only Son. He greatly loves his Son. When it says here that he gave his only Son, or as the King James renders it, his only begotten Son, that word begotten does not mean that Jesus Christ was born by God. Jesus Christ is God. He's always been the Son of God. But when we say his only Son, or as some texts insert begotten, it means his special, unique, one-of-a-kind Son of God. And he loved him greatly, and yet he still sent his Son into this world to innocently die in our place as our substitute, our sacrifice for sin. That's a love that we can't even fully comprehend. Yet that's what God did for us. He did for you. He did for me. It says the simplicity of this gospel. He loved the whole world. He sent his Son that whoever believes in him, God greatly will bless those who believe in his Son and repent of their sin. What does it mean to believe in something? What does it really mean? To believe means to have faith, but to believe also means that whatever you're believing in, it changes the way you live. If you believe that a building is on fire, what do? Sit around and just keep enjoying your cup of coffee? You get out of there. Maybe you warn people. You call 911, right? Because you believe this is true. It changes the way that you react. It changes the way that you are living at that moment. When you come to believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, it changes the way that you live. When you believe that you are a sinner headed for destruction under God's wrath, but you also believe that Jesus Christ came and paid the penalty for your sin, then as Christians, for those who are going to become Christians, we believe, we say, God, please forgive me. I admit, I confess that I am a sinner. I deserve death, but I also believe. And I believe that Jesus Christ came to die in my place. And he bore your anger and your wrath on him in my place as the perfect sinless sacrifice for God. And I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And I'm calling to you, God, based upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and based upon his resurrection from the grave that he's alive, I call to you, God, please forgive me. For remember that story in Acts chapter 16 with Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians. And he's in jail unjustly for preaching about Jesus. And remember, God sends an earthquake. And the jailer sees this earthquake happen and how the prison doors are opened. And he is scared to death. And he calls to Paul and says, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul didn't say, "Well, put a lot of money in the offering plate." He didn't say, "Go and memorize all these verses." He didn't even say, "Join a church." He didn't even say, "Get baptized." He said, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." I'm thankful that it's a simple message. So simple that someone can come to believe in God even at the end of their life. Many people, and I encourage people not to say, "Well, I'll just accept Christ one day on my deathbed." You aren't guaranteed that you'll have that opportunity. But many people do come to Christ on their deathbed. Why? Because it's a simple message that they can believe and understand. And God opens their eyes. And it's not about them doing anything to earn their salvation. We can never earn our salvation, right? Because we're sinners. We could never do enough good things. We could never be baptized enough times. We could never memorize enough verses or put enough money in the offering plate. You can't buy your salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God, and we have to believe that, God, I can't do anything to earn my salvation, but you've done the work. And so I come to you based upon your grace and your love and your offer of a free gift that really is true. And we repent of our sin. We ask God to forgive us for our sin, and he changes us from the inside out. And we are not only are saved from our sin, but he gives us his Holy Spirit to indwell us. Our eyes are open new to God's word, and our life begins to change, and even in the way that we live, because of God's gospel that is truly good news. He says, whoever, God's gospel is not just for a particular corridor of this earth, but it is for all people groups, all nationalities, all countries are called and offered this free gift. And then the good news is that it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God greatly desires to save his creation from perishing under sin's eternal punishment. If you look in verse 17, it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18, whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This first time Jesus came to earth, which, can you believe Christmas? Do any of you have those Christmas trackers on your phone? Some of you might. I saw one today. It's only 110 days till Christmas, and there was like the sticker going down. I'm like, these people probably started it when there's only 364 days left. They're excited about Christmas. What's the big excitement about Christmas? Well, our world has kind of made it something that it really was never intended to be. But Christmas, ultimately, we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. Why is that so important that Christ came to this earth? Because he came for a purpose, to head to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And then we celebrate Easter, because if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, we would be of all men most miserable, Paul says. We'd be without hope. But he didn't just die on the cross, he rose from the dead. We celebrate Christmas because Jesus Christ came to this earth. When he came the first time, he came as the Lamb of God. As John even says, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. Here, John is saying Jesus Christ, when he came the first time, did not come to condemn. He came to offer peace with God. He came as the Lamb of God with the good news of Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for our sin. He rose from the dead. He came to offer God's free gift. But there is a second time that Jesus Christ is coming to this earth. And the second time he comes and sets his feet on this earth, he will not be coming as a lamb offering peace. He will be coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, bringing God's judgment to this earth. And all those who have rejected him and have not believed, John says here, they're condemned. They will be condemned to punishment, to perishing. But John says, you don't have to perish. If you will believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you can be saved. That is the beauty, the simplicity of the gospel. There's bad news. We're headed for hell. But the good news is, it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus Christ has come. He's offered you his gift of salvation. So you must call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Thirdly, the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news because of its scope. We'll just mention this briefly. The world, whoever believes in him. Turn if you would to Romans chapter 10. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish. Jesus Christ's gospel, as we said, is not just for one people group or one culture. It is for the entire world. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the scripture says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be, what's the next word? Saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified or declared right with God. And with the mouth one confesses or agrees with God and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him, believes in Jesus, will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's gospel is good news because it doesn't matter what your status is in society. It doesn't matter what your skin color is in society. It doesn't matter what your nationality or your background is. God loves you. And he loves you so much that he's made a promise if you will call upon him to forgive you for your sin, he will. It's not just for the Jewish people or not just for the un-Jewish people. It's for all the world this gift is offered. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. No, he's not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." This is God's desire, but he will not force you to worship him. He gives us this responsibility to respond to the gospel message. At the end of the day, he gets the glory for saving us, but he will not force you to be saved. God could do that if he wanted. He could just say, "I'm going to save the whole world. I'm going to force them to believe in my good news." But you know what? It's one thing to force everyone to have a gift. It's another thing to offer the gift for them to joyfully receive it and them to worship God with thankfulness and graciousness to God. God wants us to worship him out of hearts that are praising him for this gift of grace he's given us, not just because, well, we have to because he gave us this gift. No, God loves the whole world. That's its scope, but we are called to believe in him. Fourthly, a fourth reason why the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news is because of its sufficiency. We've looked at its scope, we've looked at its source as God. We've looked at its simplicity, its simple message. We've looked at the scope. The whole world is offered this free gift. But also, the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news because of its sufficiency. It's sufficient in what it will do, what it promises to do. When he says in John 3:16, "should not perish," that's what it means. Jesus Christ's good news is sufficient not just to keep you from perishing, but also to make you more and more into the image of God, to cause you to live in light of how he created you in his image. And it's going to lead you to heaven one day. When we talk about the salvation, if you're in Romans, turn back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul begins this wonderful letter to the Christians in Rome. And in verse 16 he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," the good news. "I'm not ashamed of it." Why? "Because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and also first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by faith." Here, Paul is saying the gospel is glorious. I'm not ashamed of it because it saves us from our sin, but it also gives us a way to live by faith for the glory of God. The gospel is the power of God unto all salvation. It is powerful. It is sufficient to save you from your sin, but also to show you how to live now as a Christian. And also, it's leading us to heaven. You're in Romans. If you're still in Romans, turn to Romans chapter 8. If you haven't figured it out, Romans says a lot about the gospel. It says a lot about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, look at verse 30. We're just going to read a couple verses here. "Those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he also he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified." What's Paul saying here? When God saves you from your sins, he had a plan before the foundations of the world that your eyes would be open to the gospel, and he worked faith in your heart so that you would believe in Christ. But he didn't just save you to take you to heaven. He saved you so that you would be declared righteous and you would live a righteous life, and one day we'll be glorified in his presence. We'll be given a new body, a new mind, a body that's not filled with the sin nature. Will be glorified one day in heaven eternally. Verse 31, "What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" He goes on to talk about how nothing can separate us from God's love. In verse 37, he says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Verse 38, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." You say, "Well, why? How's that possible?" It's possible because the good news of Jesus Christ is all-powerful. It is sufficient to save you forever. We thank God that the gospel of Jesus Christ really is good news, because when God saves, He saves forever. And that leads us to the last point, number five here. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news because of its security. You know, how many of you have a security system at your home? Some of you might. Maybe you don't want to say. You want to be careful. I don't want to know. But many of us have security all over our lives. Why do we lock our doors? Or why do we have locks on our doors, whether we use them or not? You have locks on your doors so that people who you do not want coming into your house do not come in. Locks on our cars so that when you lock your car, you're guaranteed that no one is going to have an easy time of stealing your car. We have locks. We have security things around because we want protection. The greatest security plan that you will ever have in life is believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when God saves, He saves forever. Some people think that, well, if you're a Christian and you don't please God this day, that you can lose your salvation. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible actually teaches the exact opposite. If you are a Christian, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and He saves you, you are saved forever. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. We were in John chapter 3. Just turn a couple chapters over to John chapter 10. God's gift of salvation is something that can never be taken away or lost. John chapter 10, Jesus is talking to a group of people and saying He's the good shepherd. And also that He's the door to the sheepfold, that everyone has to come to God through Him. But He says, if you will come to God through Me, look at verse 27. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. This speaks to us living for God's glory. I give them eternal life, verse 28, and they will never perish. That sounds just like John 3:16, right? Will not perish. But it gets even better. And no one will snatch them or tear them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. What's Jesus saying here? He says, if you're a Christian, you're in good hands. Nothing can take away your salvation. Oh, the devil would like to, wouldn't he? Oh, Satan would love to be able to just rip away God's gift of salvation, but Satan is not all powerful. Oh, he's powerful. He's more powerful than us, but he is not God. God, the Creator, is all powerful. And when He becomes your Heavenly Father, when you believe in His Son or given His gift of salvation, He saves you forever because that's what God does. You say, well, that sounds too good to be true, but it's true. It's true. You can believe it. Not because I said it, not because you want to believe it, but because God's Word says it. And that's why we believe. If you are a Christian, you're in good hands. We see these commercials maybe on TV sometimes. Is that Allstate? If you have Allstate, you're in good hands, right? And you hear that guy's voice. He just has a great voice, right, when he said that commercial? Well, Jesus is saying this to you. If you're in My hands, you're not just in good hands. You're in God's hands. Nothing will tear you away. So no circumstance that you face, no fear that you face, no failure that you make, and then you repent of and you run back to God, nothing will take away your salvation because God saves forever. That's how good the salvation is. That doesn't mean that we live however we want. No, if you're a Christian, you will live for God's glory. So sometimes there are people who think, well, maybe I've lost my salvation. I would say, no, maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never truly come to know Jesus because your life shows that you really have no desire to live for Him. You maybe said a prayer. Maybe you said something here. And maybe you thought you really believed in Christ, but your actions are showing that really you haven't believed fully because your life hasn't changed. But when you do believe and He changes your life, it's solid. It's secure. Your salvation is settled with God. And there is only one way to be saved. It's through the door, through the Good Shepherd, through His Son that He has sent. So as we close this morning, we prepare our hearts for this opportunity to baptize Clint and praise God for His goodness in his life and in our lives, reflecting as Christians. A couple questions really quick. One, have you believed? Have you believed in the good news of Jesus Christ's gospel? Remember, believe is not just saying a prayer. Believe is not just having an intellectual assent to truth, but it is, has God's gospel changed your life? To believe means to be changed by God's truth and grace. Have you come to the point where you said to God, God, I know You sent Your Son to pay the penalty for the sins of the world, but that's me. Have you personally repented and confessed to God that you are a sinner? And if you said, God, I want to turn from that way of sinful living and I want to follow Jesus with my life, will you forgive me based upon the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? If you've done that, you're saved by God's grace. Has that happened in your life? And then if that has happened, the second question I would just ask is, how is Jesus Christ continuing to bring real change in the way that you live your life? If you're a Christian this morning, what evidence do you see in your life that God has saved you? We hear about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. We hear those commands throughout Scripture, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see that taking place in your life? And if you do, praise Jesus and keep pursuing Christ. But if you hear this morning and say, you know what, I've never seen any working. I've never really seen any change in my life since I professed to be a Christian. Well, maybe this morning you need to pray and ask God to search your heart. Do I really believe in the name of Jesus Christ? And if you do, and if you have called on Christ, you've received his gift of salvation, then say, God, will you help me to live for your glory? Maybe you say, you know what, Pastor Sam, I know I haven't. You've maybe even shared some things here that I've never really heard it presented this way, but I realize that I am a sinner, that I need God's gift of forgiveness, and I can't do anything. When Clint gets baptized in a couple moments, this isn't saving him. He's already accepted God's gift of salvation. Baptism is but a wonderful public demonstration to God's church to say, God has saved me, and I want to live for God. And as Clint in a couple moments is buried in baptism but raised, it is a picture of what Jesus Christ did. Just as Jesus died and was raised again, so also in baptism, it's a picture of what God's already done in our hearts as Christians. How we have died to our old way of living, and we are raised to walk in newness of life for God's glory. And we praise God, and it's an opportunity for us as a church family to pray for Clint, to encourage him to realize that now, as he publicly declares his faith in Christ, that we have an opportunity, an obligation, to encourage him in his walk with God, and to be a church family that encourages one another in our walk with God. For sake of time, we don't have time to look here, but if you were to read chapter 3 of John, at the beginning, you realize that Jesus, who's Jesus talking to? He's speaking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. He's speaking to a man who was a ruler of the Jews, and actually a spiritual ruler. He was a Pharisee. He was one who had read God's word his whole life, had memorized almost all of God's word. He had read the Bible a lot and memorized much of it. And yet he was far from God because he had not believed in Jesus Christ. Can I just say this as a reminder to us that it's very possible to read the Bible your whole life and yet never truly know the God of the Bible? That's what's so sick about sin. People sometimes can think, well, I've read the Bible, so I'm good. It's very possible to look good on the outside and yet never truly know God in your heart. This is why it's so important. This is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You have to be created new through God's grace and truth. And that's why he says, but God made it possible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him doesn't have to perish, but can have everlasting life. And yet I would say it's totally impossible to be a Christian and yet not know the God of glory as your heavenly Father. So if you're a Christian today, rejoice that God is your heavenly Father. Rejoice in this good news of the gospel. So as we close this morning, as we apply this, I would just say, may we never ignore or reject God's amazing gift of salvation. May we never ignore or reject his grace. Hebrews says, today is the day of your salvation. Don't harden your heart and think, well, I'll choose God another time. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, are we? Sadly, we see that even more and more in the news. People don't plan to have that car accident. They don't plan to have, you know, something bad happen. But it does happen because we live in a fallen world. No, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, make today the day of your salvation. Glorify God as you believe in Christ. If you admit your need for God's forgiveness, you repent of your sin against him, you believe that God's promise concerning Jesus' payment for sin is true, you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then you can call out to God and you can forever receive God's amazing gift of salvation. Vacation Bible School, a couple years ago, as we were ministering to our children, we said, admit, believe, forever receive. That's the gospel. Admit that you're a sinner in need of salvation. Believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you and be saved from your sin. In a moment, we'll close in prayer, and then I'll have a couple words before we have our baptism service. But I could encourage you, if you're a Christian, God's calling you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are we growing? What's going to encourage us to grow in Christ? We come back to the gospel, come back to John 3:16. God loved me so much, and he sent his son to die for me. He wants me to live for him because of what he's done for me. May we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you are here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, then I encourage you to realize that God loves you. Doesn't matter what other people say. Doesn't matter what society says. All that matters is what God says. And he loves you greatly. He loves you dearly. And that's why he sent his son to die for you. None of us would send our children to die for someone else. But that's what God did for us, because he loves you. And he raised him from the dead so that you could have eternal life. So I encourage you to call. If you have any questions about what that might be, to what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord, I would love to show you more from God's word. I'd love to talk and pray with you about how you could know God as your Savior. So if that's your heart's desire, or you have those questions, please see me after the service or another Christian here. They would love to show you from God's word how you can be saved. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then I'll have a couple words before we celebrate God's grace in Clint's baptism. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I thank you for your grace in our life. We thank you for your great love that sent your son to come from heaven. Thank you that your gospel truly is good news. Father, I pray that you would help us to live in light of your love and your grace and truth. Father, for those of us who are Christians this morning, may we never tire or never get bored about hearing about the gospel. May it always be a joy to us, and may we live each day in light of your gospel message. For those who are here this morning and may not know the truth or may not understand what it means to be a child of God, Father, I pray that you'd open their eyes, open their hearts to believe in Jesus, to understand the gospel clearly, that they would be saved from their sin. We thank you for your goodness to us. We pray now as we have this opportunity to baptize Clint and to rejoice in your goodness in his life through your gospel. I pray, God, that you would be glorified. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.